The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We believe in God, the Eternal Father.
We believe in the Bible Son, Jesus to be the Word of God.
We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous.
We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind.
We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God.
We may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things.
Welcome to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. On this show, we talk with members about experiences in their lives that have led to the mighty change of heart spoken of in the Scriptures. My name is Rick Starr, and I'm your host today. In 2009, two temples were dedicated in the Salt Lake Valley, the Draper Temple and the Ochre Mountain Temple. In conjunction with those dedications, two celebrations were held in the conference center involving nearly 14,000 young men and young women between two performances. Joining me today in the studio are members of the Youth Committee and Organizing Committee that participated in putting this event together. Let's go around the table, first of all, and have all of you introduce yourselves and what your role was in this event. Go ahead, starting with you. Kramer, go ahead.
My name is Kramer Warden. It was the soloist for the last number of the Temple Celebration song, which was called Come to the Mountain of the Lord. And I also participated in the founding of Draper when it was being built in the dance for that.
That's great. How old are you, Kramer?
I'm 14 years old.
Great. Okay. Austin.
My name is Austin Cisneros, and I actually was also one of the temple soloists for the Ochre Mountain Temple Celebration. And I was able to do some of the film work as well. And share my testimony on camera, I guess, and it was a really neat experience.
Great. And you were a senior at the time, right?
Yeah, I was a senior at Riverton High School.
And now you're a freshman at BYU.
Yeah, a little bit of a change.
That's great. Go ahead.
I'm Stacy Peters. I was on the adult committee and was responsible initially for music production, and then we all started getting involved with all parts of it. So I had some fun doing audiovisual elements, some of the youth interviews and the little video vignettes that we did between dance numbers, and
that's
had a
great
time.
Steve.
I'm Steve Shank. I, with Stacy, was on the organizing committee. I was on the script writing team that wrote the script for the event, and also one of the musical directors that worked with the choirs and teaching the youth the music that was going to be sung as part of the event. And then, as Stacy said, we kind of all reached out and helped each other with the various responsibilities on this committee. It really was a great experience to work with a bunch of people that helped each other at every turn. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cammie, you're next.
My name is Cammie Scholl. I was on the Youth Temple Committee. And I was in the baseball number.
And were you a senior at the time?
Yeah.
And now you're at BYU also.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Also, we should mention, kind of sitting here in the background in the studio are the two co-chairs, Dennis, who goes by Denny Crockett, and his wife, Terry Crockett. And we're so happy to have you here as well. They're trying to stay in the background, but we know that they were very important in the organization of this whole event. You know, I'd like to hear from you youth real quick. Tell me a little bit about this event in your life, how long it took, what it took, you know, what type of commitment it took, and how you felt about it. Let's start with you, Cammie.
For me, it started in March, more February, the end of February is when I got my calling, and from there I had meetings I attended every month, and then the dance practices.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how often did you have dance practices?
Every Saturday morning.
Uh huh. So you started in February on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And when was the event? Was it June?
End of May.
Okay. So 4 months of Saturday morning dance practices and meetings. What type of organizing were you involved in besides being a participant in the event? What did you do?
On the committee, we were in charge of the blog and the website and getting out the wristbands and doing the text messaging, more of the getting the youth excited part.
So you were using some viral social technology there,
yeah,
to get all the youth up to date with everything. Mm-hmm.
We should talk about that a little bit.
Go ahead. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
That's kind of new. That has never been done before with the Temple Celebration. That was a big deal to get permission to do that.
I think they said the text messaging was the first for the church. So.
Uh-huh. So you were texting all of the youth? That's how you were getting out information?
Every Monday morning they would get a text, and it would either be a scripture or a quote or just a reminder to come up to the mountain. So
the title of the event was Come Up to the Mountain of the Lord, and you were using texting every week to remind all the youth to live the standards that they have and to prepare for the event, to prepare their own personal lives spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Austin, tell us a little bit about your involvement and how you felt about the event and when you got involved and everything.
All right, so I remember... like the very beginning of starting, I wasn't quite fully committed to it. I didn't know if I guess I didn't understand how much was going into it, and I didn't think it was going to be that big. But I remember just going to some of the practices, and I was like, this isn't for me.
Really?
I'm not a dancer. I can't do this. And so I stopped going. But then I got a call saying they wanted me in this special dance, and it's like, well, I couldn't even dance in the first place, so how am I supposed to go in special dance, you know? So I started going to the practices on Saturday morning for that, and then I heard about this solo opportunity, and I really, really wanted to try out for that. For some reason, it just seemed like it'd be an amazing opportunity to share my testimony of the gospel, and I remember being on stage, and I completely forgot the words to the entire song. And I just remember being so bummed because I didn't give it everything I had. And I felt like I let myself down. And so I remember just kind of walking off and going into the back of the stadium, and that's where I met Terry Crockett. And She came up to me and gave me the biggest hug because that's just who she is. And, later that night, I got a phone call saying that I was selected to be one of the soloists, and it just changed my whole experience because it turned into not being about me, but being about sharing my testimony, like I said, with the crowd, with the youth, and trying, I guess, to be an example, and it was just amazing, amazing opportunity to. I just remember walking on stage with the microphone, and looking out at those 23,000 people, you know, with the Quorum of the 12 somewhere scattered in there, and the prophet sitting on the front row, and I just remember just singing, and it was the most amazing experience that I've ever had. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's amazing for hearing you talk about when you started and your initial thought was, oh, this is a big commitment. I'm not sure it's for me. Yeah. And the end result of what you just told us was just, you know, what a wonderful experience it was for you. What a great memory you'll have. Kramer, tell us a little bit about your experience being in this production.
Well, I started our ward... We started out with a fireside about it, and our quorum wasn't exactly the closest at first, and after we started hearing about the Temple Celebration, it started to get us calling each other all the time, and we came, and then one of the nights, the lady who was in charge of the choir as we were there, she announced about doing the solo thing, and I was just, like crossed my mind, but I didn't really think much about it because that's just not something I really ever thought of being. I didn't really think about doing something that had to do with singing. And then my dad came over to me one day after that, and he's like, Kramer, maybe you should go try out for that. And I was like, I don't really know, because I didn't really feel up to it. I didn't want to play that big of a part at the time. And then I thought about it a little while and kind of just trying to go through my head and trying to find out what, how it would work for me. And then I decided that I decided to go and do it. And I tried out there, and my mom and dad made me wear like all these church clothes. I was kind of like frustrated. I was like, oh, because sometimes, you know, when you get to be that age, you don't want to look totally nice. It's just something you feel like you're going to stand out.
You want to wear jeans and
you
that
look
kind of thing.
Weird. Yeah.
Be casual.
And so I, as I went in there, my judge was actually Steve Shank. He was my judge for the first time I tried out. And I went out and I sang it, and we were kind of like, I was a little worried at first. Just when I saw everyone there, I was like, oh, there's no way, no way at all. So I went home and kind of sat, and then I got a call, and they told me that I had made it through the first round. I was just like, I was freaking out. I was way happy. And then as we went and I did the second tryouts, and the spirit was like really strong. I couldn't believe it. And after the second time, I got called again for the final callbacks. And we went and we performed on the stage, and it was like so amazing. Because I originally, before I went, I was really struggling at how to perform like in front of people, because a lot of times when I would perform, I kept a straight face. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to smile and show forth. But then my dad took me to one of these guys he knows who's a performer, Danny O'Vary, and he told me like about how that you need to be like Isaiah and all the prophets, how they told people that they knew that their lives were on the line, but they still were willing to tell everyone to come. And so as I went the last night, I felt like I just totally, it popped into my mind what he had told me, and it felt so amazing. And then after we went up into a room and we gave our thoughts about how we felt about the celebration, and I remember I think it's probably the most just spiritual moment I've ever had in my life. I actually started getting, there wasn't like a dry eye in there. Mm. It was really spiritual. And then we had a prayer and we all left, and I got to call for the final part, and I was just, it was so amazing. I actually started crying that night just because I was so happy. Mm. And then it came, we did the practices, and it just felt so amazing. I got close to a lot of people that I hardly even knew, which was kind of weird because at the time I was 13, and I was around all these people that were in, like, high school also, so it was kind of weird, and I didn't totally feel entirely included just because I was so different. But after a while, everyone, all the people I was, just kept including me so much. I felt like I was actually a part of the group with them, even though there was a huge age difference. I felt really included with the youth.
You know, let alone the fact that you performed in front of 23,000 people, had any of you had any performance experience before that in high school or in junior high? Kramer, no?
No, I've never. That was the first time I ever performed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Austin, how about you?
I've just kind of been in choirs and stuff and some shows, but nothing really too big.
Nothing in front of 20,000 people before. How about you, Cammie?
Nothing.
No?
No.
Well, thank you all for your participation. I'm sure you touched a lot of hearts. Kramer, I understand that toward the end of the performance, you had a special experience. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, after we sang the song, I was kind of just looking around, and we said the prayer, and then after that, I was just kind of staring around at the crowd, and all of a sudden, everyone was like, hey, and it was poking on my shoulder. I was like, huh. I looked over, and President Watson was waving me down. I was like, me? He just kind of pointed at himself, because I didn't think it was really going to be me. And so then he's like, yes, you. And I walked down, and he said to me, are you going on a mission? And I said, absolutely, which is what one of the ladies who was in charge of it, Marilee Webb, she had told us, if there's anything you have to do with that has to do with the church, your answer should always be absolutely. And yeah,
that was a good answer.
Yeah, and he gave me a hug, and I left, it was so amazing. I was kind of, like, shocked at first. I didn't, like, know what to think. After that, it was just kind of, it was crazy. It was so amazing. I couldn't believe it.
That is wonderful. What a great experience for you to have. What kind of things did you have to put together for this event?
Go ahead, Stacy.
I was looking at you because you know more about it than I do. Many, many, many moving parts. Many. Mm-hmm. There were 50 stakes. So you have everything from award level to a stake level to a multi-stake level. We had groups of five stakes and multi-stake groups, and we had multi-stake coordinators that were a couple that was called, an adult couple, and then they had stake coordinators, you know, working with them. And then on award level, all the people that jumped in, we had a wardrobe person and a dance person and a music person in every stake. There were thousands of families involved in this, parents and youth leaders, and that was very inspiring to me to see the level of commitment that was happening on every level. That it was very inspiring to see that kind of a rally around this, and you could almost feel it, you know, just in the air, mm-hmm. with everyone with their energy pointed towards this, and most especially with these youth. I was impressed in our earliest meetings, and this was instruction that came from actually Elder Rasmand, who was the senior priesthood leader over this, and Elder Price and Elder Pingree. We were really commissioned to help the youth have an experience, not to do a show, mm-hmm. not to rehearse for a production, but to have a temple preparation experience. And we actually had two members of our committee who were given that specific call. I think we called them the experience producers, didn't we? And and that plays into what Cammy was talking about earlier with the website and the wristbands and everything. They had a wonderful, creative, inspired meeting with lots of ideas that flowed from that, one of which was having this youth council put together, and they got with them and brainstormed, and they knew that the best way to reach the hearts of these youth was with youth, mm-hmm. and really relied on them to, you know, like she was saying, to wrangle everybody, to get them involved and excited about it, and then having the breakthrough of permission, clearance through priesthood leaders to be able to do some of these things that have never been done before. We were amazed and grateful that they got on board with that and really had the vision for how that would help. So, you know, you asked me about the adult committee, and I end up talking about the youth because that's just really, that's made me cry. That's what this was about for all of us. And it was amazing to see what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that we sang and danced was cool and a nice outcome of it, but it was really about these youth and their commitment and testimony of the temple that was what this was about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would second that. I think from the very beginning, we were instructed, and as we met together and felt the Spirit kind of direct, and this thing changed direction several times before we felt that it was going the right way. But we were all on the organizing committee committed to not having just an event that would come and go, but to somehow for 14,000 individuals, and how do you do that? To have them have an experience where coming up to the mountain of the Lord was something that they experienced before the event, that they felt solidified during the event, and that they would be committed to want to do for the rest of their lives. We wanted them to catch the vision of the importance of temples, why we build temples, and how they now needed to come and lay something on the altar as they come to the temple, either as a youth to do baptisms in their wards and stakes, as they help to prepare other temples to be built, and then as they grow up for the rest of their lives to eventually have families that start in the temple. And that's really what we wanted. The music and the dance was secondary. That was really just a celebration, and that's what it's called. That was the nights were a celebration that we now have caught the vision of the importance of temples. Temples have been built in our area, and now we're going to celebrate that we now have this thing in our lives that we appreciate and value more than we ever have before, because we've talked about it. We've talked about it on the stake level. We've talked about it as we've gotten together with the choirs and even with the dances, that they started out with devotionals and they had the youth teach each other about temples and about why we're coming up, what it means to come up the mountain. And really, in all of this, we wanted the youth to come up to find the best that is in them, to reach down and find that part of them that they wanted to present to the Lord in his holy house. And so the event was about getting them to come up to the Lord individually. And the event here in the conference center really became secondary, I think, for everyone, including the organizing committee. It kind of came and went, and we all said, it's over. But it was really, the event itself was a small part of the entire process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the change that is made in people's lives lingers and stays with them.
That's what we had hoped, and I think that's what we're seeing.
You know, it's interesting. We could talk about all the technical issues and the logistics and lighting and all the background stuff that has to happen for a celebration like this to occur, but the thing that keeps happening as we're talking here in this program is you keep coming back to the youth, and you keep coming back to the change of heart that occurs individually on a personal level. And that being the goal from the very start, it's such an amazing thing that you accomplished that and kept that as your vision.
And
as
you asked the youth about their change of heart during this experience, before we even brought the youth in and let them know what was happening, we had to experience that ourselves. When we came, there were a bunch of talented individuals together in this room. And as we discussed, it seemed at first that everyone had ideas and the ideas were thrown together. And as we met literally each week for months, we saw as that group, everybody had to learn to put aside their ego and to become a part of this greater whole. And there, we watched as everybody, kind of the pendulum swung one way to the other about the emphasis. And then there came a time when all of us, we were just unified in that common vision. And it didn't come immediately, but it came along the way. And then as we realized that we needed some extra help and we added other people to this general committee, we wanted first for them to catch the vision that we had caught along the way, and they weren't the benefit of those they weren't able to benefit from those months of those meetings. But I would say that we had a change of heart and had a real Zion experience where we became one heart and one mind. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, then it was, it was full speed ahead as we were racing to get this thing done. But I'm so grateful for the time that we had with those discussions to become one first and then to move forward.
That sounds great. For any of you who are just joining us, this is Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel. My name is Rick Starr, and I'm your host today. Today we have joining us the co-chairs, members of the organizing committee, and members of the youth committee for the Draper, Utah and Ochre Mountain, Utah cultural celebration, which was held in the conference center here in Salt Lake in May of 2009. What a wonderful event it was. I think we need to take a few minutes and hear from the co-chairs, who we haven't heard from yet, and that's Denny and Terry Crockett. It would be great to hear from you a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this event. So, Denny, how did you come to be involved in this cultural celebration?
Well, I think Steve gave this history very well. We were one of a number of individuals invited to participate in a discussion about what would you do if you were counseling someone regarding a youth celebration. As we all knew that the temples were on their way and would be dedicated soon, but we were more of a think tank, at least at that stage. It was give us your opinion, and that's where we met Steve and Stacy and Derek and everybody.
And our amazing community.
And it evolved. We were instructed. We were taught through the Lord's servants, but we were taught truly by the Lord to get in the spirit of what this needed to be. And this needed not to be a production, though it turned out to be a wonderful show, a wonderful celebration. It needed to be an experience for the youth. Now, along the way, we believe that the youth had a great experience, but so did us old folks. We had a tremendous experience watching this unfold and being clay in the hands, I believe, of the Lord to be molded into this entity, this group. We were of one mind and one heart, And what a privilege it was to just be a part of that. We were working hard. We were thinking we were working smart. Sometimes we discovered we weren't working so smart. We were under the loving direction of it starts with Elder Rasban, but with Elder Pingree and Elder Price, who would nudge us just the right way if we were coloring outside the lines.
They were so lovingly. They were so
and,
great. But I, along that line, I'd like to talk about our prophet, President Monson. He is the one that wanted the youth to have these experiences. And I had just previously been involved a little bit with my sister in Rexburg. They had just gotten their temple in Rexburg, Idaho. And so they were so excited because they did not have a temple there. And all of a sudden, I just saw how it just brought their whole community together and how they were so excited for their temple. And I thought, I want our youth to have that experience because we have so many temples here in Utah already. But to me, I wanted our youth to have this cohesive experience where these were their temples, and they felt ownership of these temples. And that was so exciting for me, just to know that our prophet wanted them to have this experience. And I knew that if he wanted it to happen, the Lord needed it to happen. And that's the only way that it could have happened in the amount of time that we had. Literally from the beginning of January, really knowing our responsibilities until the end of May, that is not very much time. But I knew with the Lord in charge, he knew what needed to be done. And we just feel honored to be a part of that.
All along the way, we thought, I wish we had more time. And now that it's over with, we're saying, I'm glad we only had a few months to organize the chaos and watch it unfold. As Steve and Stacy were talking about the evening, I thought one of the turning points in the evening was when the prophet walked in the room. And you felt, did you not? I'm looking at the youth around the table now. The palpable change in the room when President Monson walked in. His presence, though this would have been a marvelous celebration had he not been able to attend, was made ever more special because of his being there in the front row. Everybody who came on stage could see him. And the message.
Actively engaged in what was going on. It was just a wonderful treat for us to see how excited he was. There was a military section that was just a treasure of the evening. It
we were
was
honoring,
so wonderful.
Honoring those that had served in the military. They
yes.
were asked to stand.
So if they had been in the military, they stood in their section. And it was so exciting to see when President Monson heard his song. Boy, he was right up on his feet. And along with some of the other general authorities as well. That was a special moment to just honor those who had been in the military. But just to see how actively involved our prophet was in this whole celebration was a real treat for us.
And he set the stage beautifully as he shared his remarks with us that night. We were able to be taught by the prophet. He took his seat, and then we began our celebration. We could have not had a celebration, and we would have accomplished, I think, why we needed to be there, because we would have had a beautiful experience with our prophet. But we had 90 minutes of beautiful song and wonderful dances. And
we could have gone a lot longer, but we tried very hard to keep it in the time limit we were given.
But I've appreciated all that I've heard so far in this discussion. And really, this was about celebrating the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts of youth. And the temples gave us a new focus to celebrate. And to the end, had we put on a fun show with songs and dances, we would have missed the mark. And that's why I think the instruction that we were given in the early days and the spirit of the preparation that you've heard about that consumed everyone involved. And we saw it at our committee level, but we know that this was taking place at the ward and stake levels
every
as well.
Level.
Yeah, I mean, you have to imagine if there were 14,000 youth that were participating, how many thousands of adults? Every family would have been participating at some level. There was that spiritual DNA that was being felt in the hearts of so many that allowed this to culminate in a way that I believe the Lord was pleased. We
And the location, it was in the conference center. Mm-hmm. Never before had there ever been anything quite like this held in the conference center. And so I was excited about that because I wanted every youth, when they would listen to conference every 6 months or watch it on TV, mm-hmm. they would say, they can say, that's where we held our celebration. And so there's something special about that place. Every single time they listen
yeah.
or watch conference, they will remember that's where we had our celebration. Mm-hmm. And then every time they go to the temple, when you go to the Draper or the Ochre Mountain Temple to do your baptisms, don't you just feel like it's your temple? Oh, I just... Personally, I'm so excited to go to our temples. I love every temple in this whole church, but there's something real special to me mm-hmm. about the Draper and the Ochre Mountain Temple just because of the involvement that we had all together in this wonderful, wonderful event that our prophet wanted us to have. How blessed are we?
Wow. Thank you so much. As we wrap up this program today, it would be really great if we could hear a few words from each of you, just a few closing comments about maybe how your lives have changed, what your testimony is, both of the gospel, of temples. Cammy, let's start with you.
I think what I have gained the most from this experience is it started getting me out of my comfort zone. Improving myself, and that's what the gospel does. It helps me improve myself to be a better person each day, and I'm not perfect, and I like it that way because there's always something I can change, and I just listening to their experiences, and it just reminds me of the feelings that I felt last year, and I just am so grateful that I was able to be a part of this celebration and to have this experience because I honestly will never forget it. And I'm thankful for the temples and that I am sealed with to my family. Just a quick story. At the end, when we were singing, I love to see the temple. I was sitting next to my friend, and at the time, she had a boyfriend who wasn't LDS, and they were, even though it was high school, they were pretty serious, and I knew what she was thinking the whole time, that, like, no matter where, she talked to me afterwards, and she just told me that no matter what, that she is going to go to the temple. And it just, I felt the same way that when that song was sang and it said, just, I love to see this temple, I'm going there someday, that I am going to go there someday and with my husband, and that there's no other place that I'd rather, that I will go. It's not an option not to go to the temple, so.
Thank you, Cammy. Let's just go around the table. Terry,
oh,
please.
Okay. I was thinking you wanted the youth only. I am so grateful to belong to the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, one where temples dot the earth, one where we have the opportunity to go and to not only go for our benefit, but for the benefit of those who are not able to do the work for themselves. I am so grateful to live in a day where we have living prophets who are led and they receive revelation for us as a church. I love the unity that I see all over the world, no matter where we are. I remember going to a sacrament meeting in China one time, and I remember taking the sacrament, and I thought, here I am clear across the world, and I'm taking the sacrament, and I'm participating in Sunday school and Relief Society. What a wonderful church we are a part of. One where we can receive instruction no matter where we are, all across the world. We're all one, we're all unified, and we're all together. And I'm so grateful that we had this wonderful opportunity to be unified and together in this temple celebration. My life has changed as I have the opportunity to watch the DVD that was made.
it's like I'm watching it for the first time every time I watch this DVD, because I look at the faces of these youth and I see their experience. And that's just in the participating of the event that night. But when you look at the experience that each one had in the months that were previously to that, it was just amazing. And my life will never be the same either because of this wonderful and exciting thing. How I love it. How I love the gospel. How I love my Savior. I know He loves every one of us. And He will be with us every second of the day if we just let Him. What a great opportunity we have to let Him be a part of our lives.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. Steve, please.
Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I celebrated our 21st anniversary. We were married in the St. George Temple. I've long had a testimony of temples and been so grateful for the temples which bind us together as families and a place where we can go to feel the Spirit of the Lord and be close with the Lord. As we worked together on this committee, my testimony was solidified and grew. But even more than that, I think what I gained from this experience was that feeling of Zion that I mentioned earlier. It was a very real and tangible thing to me that I had not experienced in that way or to that extent before in my life. I've had callings and I've had responsibilities where I have needed to come and lay my sacrifice upon the altar. But to see thousands of people around me doing the same, all at the same time, giving up their time, giving up their talents, and bringing their resources, whatever they may be, together and creating something that was so wonderful and beautiful. And the reason that they're doing it is in gratitude to their Lord for these new temples, His house upon the earth. There was some, and particularly so in the committee that we worked with together, there we really did become one. In fact, now that we've been together, well, for over a year and a half now that we've been together, we got together just a couple of weeks ago as a social gathering. We went to Denny and Terry's house just to be together, to have dinner together. It was some semblance of a family reunion because we became family through all of this. But it was more than just a social thing where we came to love each other. It was in seeing the great sacrifice that everyone was willing to give. We all have full-time jobs, and to be honest, there came a point where this celebration became another full-time job as far as the time and energy that was required of us. Mm-hmm. But to see everybody come and lay that so willingly on the altar, and then to turn and say, now how can I help you with what you're doing? And it was true across the board. The other thing that I gained from this was, I think there was a time in my life when all of my heroes were older than I was. And that is not the case anymore. To see people like Kramer and like Austin and like Cammy who are coming up and giving me an example of what it means to come up really worked a mighty change in my heart too, that I wanted to be better because I saw people younger than me stepping up and being better and setting an example for me of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And so now those heroes, many of them are about thousands of them are younger than I am, and I'm grateful for that experience as well. As far as my feeling for temples, I'm just so grateful that we live in a day and age when temples are on the earth. And especially for those who live along the Wasatch Front, we're really spoiled. Stacy mentioned before, I mean, if you go from Utah Valley up into toward Ogden, you pass 8 temples. Mm-hmm. On the drive, and if I wanted to come up the mountain today, I've got 8 choices that I can still go to today. In fact, I could go to Logan as well. I could drive there today and still participate in temple ordinances. What a blessing that is, and I'm grateful that those temples stand as a reminder to us that the Lord loves us and He has something higher for us than what this world offers. And what a pleasure it is for me
with all of these others to come up to something higher, and that's what the temples mean to me.
Thank you, Steve. Stacy, please.
Steve has my heart in more ways than one. We're a family, like he said, but I feel much of the same as much of the same things that he expressed. You heard each of these youth talk about going to the temple weekly. I need to go to the temple weekly. I'm amazed at how many of these youth, and did you notice that they said go to the temple, not going to do baptisms, but for them it is a full temple experience. And they I have a new yardstick in my life after watching the way these, I cry every time I talk about young people. They're so committed and so faithful, and their lives are hard. In talking with a lot of them, I realized how blessed I am to be around my family and work in an office with good people who use good language and are kind to each other. And these young people have to go to school where they're not around good language and good influences all the time. And for them to make the choices that they're making was very, very inspiring to me, very inspiring. And I learned a lot of personal lessons, too. It was a very humbling experience, honestly, because it took a few months for the Lord to help me figure out that we were not building the ship after the manner of men. I had the Nephi experience with that because, you know, I'd only built the ships I'd built before in terms of what happens when you put people on a stage. Right. And this was an absolutely different ship. And I'm grateful that I learned that. And in glorious ways, I still to this day can hardly believe all the things that happened on the stage that in my mind felt completely impossible. And just, again, and Terry expressed this too, having the guidance and direction and blessing of our prophet and then knowing that the Lord's the one who suggested that to him and giving us that invitation was wonderful. And seeing President Monson on a level like that with youth was just astounding to me. We all know that he is the prophet of one-on-one ministry. And to see how he interacted with these youth was incredible to me. I watched him just with rapt attention after the performance, watching what he did, like this interaction that he had with Kramer that he described before. I watched him walk over to a young man who'd lost three family members in a car accident during the rehearsal process and was hurting a lot inside. President Monson didn't know that from knowledge. He knew that from the Spirit. And out of thousands of youth, he went right to that young man and shook his hand after the performance. And that's the kind of prophet that we have, who sees into the hearts of people and knows how to reach them. And I know that he knows our youth that way. And this was truly an experience that was a gift from him, from their prophet to them. And I'm grateful they were able to give something back in their wonderful commitment and performance. And again, as has been said before, just the feeling that these temples are a gift and they are a place of refuge. I think we've all felt that more in the last couple of years than ever with all the things happening around us, all the hard things that people are experiencing in their lives. Those temples are beautiful and safe. It's really just going like going over to the Lord's house. You know, sometimes you just want to go sit in the house of someone who loves you and have that peace. And we have beautiful, beautiful houses of the Lord to visit, and I'm so grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Stacy. Austin.
I guess as I prepare for my mission, I'm turning my papers at the end of this month, and I have this experience to look back on that every time, just like Terry said, I look and I watch conference. I look at that stage and I say that I stood there. I stood where prophets and apostles of Jesus Christ have stood and counseled the children of God. And I shared my testimony and hoped, I guess I counseled in my own way. But through the, I was an instrument through in the hands of the Lord, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always be able to tell my children the experiences that I had, and I know that this experience has helped me to stay worthy and to give it everything I've got, and always to come up to the mountain of the Lord, to strive to be better. Because coming up to the mountain of the Lord doesn't mean just going to the temple, but it means to to work hard to climb that mountain of staying worthy, of being worthy to hold the priesthood, and of doing my best at all times. And I'll never forget standing on that stage. It's something that's graven in my mind, and I know that my mom was on the front row watching me, that she was so proud of me because I gave it everything I had, and I came up to the mountain. I do know that this church is the one true church, and that 200 years ago, a 14-year-old boy knelt down in a sacred grove and prayed unto the Father, and he saw God the Father and Jesus Christ. And through him, the gospel has been restored. And I will forever be grateful for this eternally. And what a time to rejoice. And I'm very, very excited to go serve a mission. I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Thank you for that testimony, Austin. Kramer, please.
This is just an amazing experience for me. I've felt something that, like, has never been felt before. It kind of reminds me that we're all instruments in Heavenly Father's hands, and He's using us. He's playing all of us to reach out and tell all the youth, and I mean all over the world, like as if we're their friends, that we're telling them, come with us, come up to the mountain. And it's like there's Isaiah and all them who are risking their lives and who just to follow Heavenly Father and tell others to come and be like them and come up to the mountain of the Lord. And there's something when you go to the temple, there's something about it. It's almost like you leave all of reality behind. When you step in there, it seems like reality just stops dead in its tracks. And everything else is forgotten, as if you're in your own world, which is Heavenly Father's world, and it's about the closest you can ever get to Him. And it's just, there's so many experiences that we'll get to experience over time, whether it's in this life or the next. But this is just one of them that I think in every youth's mind will stick out for the rest of their lives. And whether or not, I mean, even if we didn't get a DVD, those memories will forever be implanted in my mind. I'll never forget the experience I had on that night. Just how you look out and how so many youth are so dedicated. And it comes in from, it brought so many youth together, even ones that weren't, like, have not been that active over time, just come together, and it makes people so much stronger. Like, I had a boy in my ward who, because of the temple celebration, you could tell he had a much stronger testimony than he had before and almost changed a lot of the things he did. With no doubt in my mind, I know this church is the true church, and I know that Joseph Smith gave his life to serve the Lord and do what he could to help those who fell astray, to restore the gospel with the help of Heavenly Father, and that he could help create such a wonderful chance for us to be able to come back and live with Heavenly Father again. And every time I go and do baptisms, I feel like, you know, the people are who you are doing it for are most certainly rejoicing at the chance that they get to be able to go into the celestial kingdom.
Kramer, thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Denny, would you share a few closing comments with us?
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing us back together again. We get to feel these feelings all almost a year later, all over again. You get a sense for what we had a chance to enjoy by listening to the power coming from these three youth. Imagine multiplying that by 14,000, and you can get some sense for the almost unimaginable experience that we had as being a part of the temple celebrations here in in this valley. I'm reminded that this program may be listened to by people all over the globe, though, that can't drive along the Wasatch Front and see eight temples. They may have oceans between them and their temples. As a young missionary in New Zealand many, many years ago, I remember it being one of the few temples in the South Pacific, and it served Australia and some countries in Asia, and people would have to come for a week. They built apartments around the temple so families could come and stay, because it may be the only time that they would get to go to the temple, and families would sacrifice and save and sell all that they had for the chance to come to the temple and to enjoy the fullness of the blessings of the restored gospel. That, I believe, is indelibly in my mind as we talk about temples today. We don't have to go too far to go to a temple. Some people had to go and do so much more than we had to do. And so with the invitation of Isaiah to come up to the mountain of the Lord, we really need to reevaluate just how dedicated we are to that invitation. This experience and these testimonies and these youth have given me new power and new vision and new excitement about embracing that invitation. It's not a celebration that should truly invite us to come to Christ. And yet, in this case, it was a great catalyst for us all to be able to enjoy the blessings of the Savior in a special, special way. And for that, I will be, and we will collectively be eternally grateful. But I just add my witness that God lives, He loves us, He gave us His Son, our Savior, who knows us, and He invites us to come. A very simple invitation. We ought to respond with a changed heart and come running up to the mountain of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all so much for being here today on Why I Believe. Today we've had as our guests the co-chairs and the members of the organizing committee and members of the youth committee for the cultural celebration that occurred in May of 2009, celebrating the dedication of both the Draper Temple and the Ochre Mountain Temple here in the Salt Lake Valley. Thank you all so much for being here, and especially thanks to you youth, your enduring testimony that I'm sure will carry forward and affect the lives of many in the future.